Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ford NGL's Problem-Based Case Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Garcia, Product Architect for Ford NGL. Our goals with these podcasts are to examine distinct features of problem-based case learning, also referred to as PBCL, and bring you exclusive interviews with educators, students, and other community leaders committed to creating rich and authentic learning experiences for today's youth. Today's theme is authentic challenges and open-ended situations. Quite often, educators challenge students to think creatively and outside of the box as they present them with projects or problems, which is powerful for student learnings. But in most cases, these projects don't really represent what students will face in the real world. For example, what we feel is sometimes missing is the messiness of how students grapple, identify, test, and find solutions to the driving questions of that project or problem. We know that this is real world. Here's the challenge or problem. Now, how do we solve for it? We know that there's not one solution. There are multiple solutions. There's not one set checklist, per se, to follow for this situation. So we want to actually examine ways of identifying PBCL in these authentic situations. For me, the following questions come to mind when I think about setting our teachers and students up for success to develop a culture that supports messy and authentic learning opportunities. One, how are we really challenging students to examine projects in an authentic way? And also, what do we mean when we say the word authentic? What workplace and life skills are seeking to develop? And also, how are we equipping teachers with necessary skills, resources, and experiences to teach in an authentic way to better prepare students for success in college and career? Today, we're joined by two guests that are going to bring us insight on PBCL and what it means to bring truly offer students and teachers an authentic learning experience. We'll also explore the benefits of what it means to present students with an authentic and open-ended experience in and out of the classroom. Welcome to today's show, David McNeil and Jessica Julison. David joins us from Nashville, Tennessee, and he's played an integral role in the development and implementation of PBCL at the post-secondary level over a decade ago. Following his work with the establishment of the Academies of Nashville and the scaling of innovative projects in STEM education and workforce development, he's now a PBCL advisor to the Ford NGL network as it scaled across the network. Hello, David, and thanks for joining us today. Jessica joins us from the Education Development Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Jessica is a former high school teacher and coach for schools and district teams. She currently serves as a professional learning specialist for the Ford NGL team and has helped conceptualize and support what PBCL actually looks like at the teaching and learning level with our Powered by Ford STEM Academies and others in our network. Hey, Jessica, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dan. So thanks for having me.
Hey. We're excited to have you on the call, Jeff. Let's go ahead and get started, dive into today's topic. So, David, you recently released a PBCL feature article entitled Improving Student Engagement and Learning Through Authentic Real-World Challenges and Problematic Messy Solutions. It's just gone live with our Ford NGL network, and audience members, if you have not received that, be sure to sign up for emails in our network. And I was hoping we could kick off, David, today by talking about, by you sharing the why behind today's topic. I love the first question, the article that you wrote, why are PBCL's authentic challenges and problematic solutions, why are they important to student engagement and learning? Could you talk a little bit about the why and the what for our listeners?
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be with you. I'd like to take a minute and actually talk about one of the prerequisites in PBCL. Basically, PBCL is predicated on a partnership between education and business. For teachers, that means that there's already an understanding of their partner's business. And for students, that means that when they receive a challenge, like they do in PBCL, they are aware of the background for that challenge. So immediate relevancy and for both the challenge and the solution, they are neither made up nor disconnected from the real world. This is what we mean by authentic challenges. So powerful in student engagement. Problematic situations are another word for reality. We know there's no such thing as really simple solutions to complex problems in the world. Things are seldom just black and white or true and false. There's that old day that for every complex problem, there's a simple answer, and it's usually wrong. Honing their critical thinking skills is important for students to navigate through the ambiguity and complexity of life. Finally, these challenges and situations help students construct a framework for storage and retrieval of knowledge. This framework is critical for the application and transference of the knowledge.
Thank you, David. That was really insightful. Jessica, I often hear you talk about the report, How People Learn. We actually use that report in the PBCL feature article. Can you describe for us the connection between that article and what David just shared with us?
Sure. It's actually a book, not an article, and it's a collection of sort of what we've learned from cognitive science over the years, and it's by Bransford. I highly recommend people read it if they haven't before. But basically, there's a couple of things that I think are especially important. First, when we talk about knowledge now for students, it means something different than it used to mean. With the sheer volume of information in the world now, to say you know something doesn't mean you can just kind of recite back facts that you've learned. So now to educate a student means you've helped them learn more than just how to recite facts. You've learned to help them how to process information. So how do you sort and sift information? That information sometimes is conflicting. How do you decide which is the right information? How to ask good questions to find out what you need to know? And how do you prioritize and select the information that gets you where you need to go? So the purpose of education itself has shifted because of the information transformation that we've all been experiencing. And so cognitive science tells us some things that I think are important to what we ask students to do to build the skills that are most essential. And one of the things that cognitive science tells us is that learners need to be able to understand the context for new learning. So it's not enough just to kind of give them a problem that's provided with no surrounding information. They really need to understand the context for a challenge and to be able to figure out what are some other interrelated problems that exist in that context. And what are they bringing to the table? What do they already think about that challenge? What do they already think they know that perhaps they don't know? And how do they transform the knowledge they already have to new information that they gain from exploring this challenge and with all of the context that surrounds it? So that's kind of one thing that we've learned from cognitive science. And another thing that we've learned is that for students to be able to translate, I shouldn't say students, this is actually true for everyone, all learners, but for us to translate new knowledge into something that we can actually use or transfer in new situations, we need to have a really strong conceptual framework through which we can organize that new information. So it needs to be connected to something. So students need to understand how to organize, sort, and prioritize information. They need to know processes for how you define, analyze, and solve problems. And they really need a solid understanding of the concepts and the content that are related to that problem that they're trying to solve. So that's something that they actually need to be able to do if they're going to try to actually transfer this new information. And then another thing that I think is very important and relevant is that for deep transferable learning to occur, we know that students need to be able to drive their own learning. They really need to be able to decide what's important to know, what to do. They need to be the ones that are sorting through information and making decisions about what's important. And through that process, that decision-making process of self-monitoring and self-reflection, students are actually building brains. So it actually creates learning that students can then draw on later. So this is the kind of learning we know students need to prepare them for life after high school, and employers are telling us they need workforce that can do this, but that's not necessarily the way we've structured classrooms and schools and learning experiences.
So given what you just said right now, and as a veteran teacher and now PBCL advisor, what excites you most about PBCL and what we're doing with it in our network?
There are so many things that are exciting to me about PBCL, and every day that I work with it, there are more things that I get excited about. But there's probably really three big things that I find particularly exciting. One is that PBCL really provides this vehicle for relevance, and I know that speaking as a teacher, and I know many teachers struggle with this, we know that school is often not really relevant or perceived as relevant by students, and I always felt as a teacher that I had to really own that, and it was on my shoulders to try and make those real-world connections for my students, and it was very, very tiring and time-consuming. I thought it was worth it, but it was hard to do, And with PBCL, the cases that students explore actually come from real places and real employers, and they provide this accessible way for students to get into real problems and new and real challenges. And that's coming from the employer partner. It's not coming from the teacher. So for me, it's built-in relevance that, you know, you can't fake it. It's a real problem. So you're not having to struggle and make that reach as a teacher. So that's something that I find really exciting, with lots of potential for students. And second thing that I find really exciting as an educator is that it's an opportunity for students to really have access to and to learn from the employers that are in their community. I mean, students now have a very different expectation of what learning should look like. They've grown up as digital natives, and in an era of social media, students are used to being able to access people well beyond the walls of school. And so if they want to talk to an expert, they want access to an expert. And PBCL allows them that kind of access to experts in the challenge that they're exploring. And I think that's something sometimes for those of us in an older generation, it's a little harder to get used to. But the fact that it's really a way for them to connect directly. And as sort of a side effect of that, students actually then build a network of contacts because they know these employer partners. They've worked with them. They've talked with them. They're engaging with them regularly. So when they leave high school, they have this network of professionals that they can draw on. So it's really a form of social capital that, to me, students who do PBCL will have that the peers that they maybe haven't done PBCL may not have when they leave high school. Probably the third thing I find most exciting, and this is linked to the cognitive science again, is that we're finally asking students to do the work of figuring out what the problem is. So it's asking students to define problems within a larger, broader challenge. And I really feel like this is kind of the wall we've had such trouble getting past in schools because it's messy, as we've said, and it's challenging. So we tend to provide students with a sort of neat problem or a neat project that has constraints already built into it. And we ask them to go ahead and solve that or figure that out. But we never really back up a step and ask students to figure out, well, what is the problem here? To explore a context, to explore a system and figure out, there are lots of problems here. Which ones do we think are most important and which ones are we going to solve for? And, you know, we all know that life is pretty much that messy. Life is not neat. As adults, we have to figure out what we're going to prioritize. How are we going to develop solutions for our own challenges? And employers have said really loud and clear that they need that too. So I like the fact that PBCL gives students that opportunity to practice before it actually really matters and it's very high stakes. It's relatively safe and low stakes practicing in high school. So I like that they get the chance to do that. And finally, not to speak too long about what's exciting, but I like the fact that in PBCL, teachers are also learners. And for me as a teacher, that's exciting and refreshing, and it recharges my batteries. Through PBCL, teachers are working and planning and collaborating with their employer partners. So they're getting to understand the world of work in a new way. They're learning about the challenges there as students are, and I think that sometimes teachers don't always get to do that. They don't get to be learners right along with the students, and I think that that makes it kind of, if it's embedded into your work and it's part of the way you're supposed to do quote-unquote PBCL, I think it can be really exciting for teachers and re-energize them. And it treats teachers as professionals. So for me, that's also an exciting aspect of PBCL.
You make PBCL even more exciting for me, Jessica. I appreciate the enthusiasm you have for the process. And that actually, some of what you said actually reminded me of a conversation that Dave and I recently had about challenges and how they're very different from just standard projects that typically we see given to students. And David, can you please share with our audience what you feel the difference is between a project versus the challenges in PBCL?
Sure, Dan. And Jessica's topic and discussion just before really gives us good background to this difference. In a conversation we had, I offered this simple example. Build a mousetrap is a problem or a project. Build a better mousetrap is a challenge. You start playing that out in your mind, you realize that the first usually has either a problem statement or a project definition, but the second really has neither. And that's where we start with PBCL. We begin with a challenge from our business partner, one that is not reduced to solving a particular problem or building a particular project, but rather a challenge that they face in their operations or their business. With that, that then provides the context for PBCL learning. In addition, the students then must, as she said, work through first understanding the challenge and secondly determining what the problem really is. This entails things like determining root cause. We've all experienced situations where we think we know the problem and only discover later on, further investigation, it was a symptom and not a problem. Exercising that type of skill is one of the benefits of PBCL. In doing that, the students go through fairly specific activities. One of them might be determining what and resolving multiple perspectives on the problem. Usually within a PBCL briefcase, the student is offered a variety of perspective on the challenge and those stakeholders' best interest. In order to build a better mousetrap, you first need to know what constitutes a mousetrap. For PBCL, sometimes that requires reverse engineering of what the existing solution might be. In the process of digging in like that, the students gain a deeper knowledge of the content. And finally, determining the solution is always subject to constraints. And that's part of what we call the authenticity of it. My friends in England refer to greenfield opportunities. These are projects or problems in business which have no constraints. They're out there on their own. There are no existing expectations. There are no existing processes, parameters, which constrain them. As you might well expect, that's not the reality of the business world. There are very few people who have jobs which can do greenfield work. Most jobs require that they work within an organization, they work within existing designs, they work within existing parameters. This is what we provide for the students in the briefcase, an opportunity to not only be creative, but also use that creativity to work within existing operations and existing processes of a business. This then is where we get in terms of the relevance of this. But this really does mirror what they will be facing when they're in the world of work, where they go to their job and they are asked to solve a problem subject to reducing cost or improving a process.
Interesting. I really love that, David. I love the fact that that mousetrap example really kind of brings it to life for me. When we talked earlier in the week, we talked a little bit about, you know, building kind of like giving students a robot kit and say, here, build a robot versus build a better robot and really kind of gain understanding as far as why they need to do that and kind of gathering empathy from various stakeholders as well. So thank you for that contribution. And I remember as a former classroom teacher myself that would implement project-based learning, I know there's some challenges that come along with that process. I remember when I was first introduced to it, students weren't sitting quietly in their desks while I standard lectured to them. And I remember struggling with the thought of losing control in my classroom. And I know that other educators, as they move towards this way of teaching, are kind of worried about that. And as with PBL, we know that PBCL adds a level of complexity for both the teacher and the student. So, David, let's talk a little bit about why and what that is, but also how that complexity benefits the students.
Well, to be completely honest, there's no denying that PBCL does offer a level of complexity for teachers and students, particularly those that haven't had experience with navigating through experiences like this. The teachers, this is the classic, do you teach them how to fish or do you just give them a fish? Part of what teachers facilitate for students is actually defining problems, framing them, and determining constraints on the solutions. To do that in advance of the problem or project for the student is actually giving them a fish. The analog to teaching the fish is to help them develop skills so they can do it on their own, as well as apply to future situations. This is what Jessica referred to and talks about taking responsibility for their own learning. I would be less than candid to say that managing such an experience requires complex of project management skills. These experiences are not necessarily linear, and discerning where to intervene requires that the teacher monitor the student's progress, determine when they need an assist or some special coaching. So it's very hands-on. Finally, we know students that come to class, their only concern is, do I need to know this for the test, and please don't bother me with anything that I don't need for the test. This is really a shock for students like that to learn that they need to determine what they need to know, and they need to be involved in helping figure out how to learn that. This practice is pretty obvious. It's an incredible opportunity to develop professional skills, prepare students for the kinds of workers that business is looking for today.
Nice. Jessica, I want to ask you also to kind of stay in this kind of idea of the classroom and the teacher and student experience. Since you've been advising implementation of TBCL in schools across the Fort NGL network, what kind of changes in practice have you found are necessary for teachers and for their students as they move through this process?
Well, I loved what David was saying about this kind of need for a teacher as a project manager. And I feel like that's a really important aspect to PBCL, and I think that is probably one of the most challenging. Depending on what kind of environment teachers are used to teaching in, they may or may not have a lot of experience in sort of facilitating, coaching, and managing rather than delivering. And so that is one challenge that I think can be really, as David said, depending on the readiness of the teacher to actually engage in this kind of learning experience, they may or may not feel very comfortable with that role, and they may need support. And so one of the ways that we've kind of approached that is to provide ongoing PD and coaching for teachers who may be newer to that kind of teaching and learning. So that's one piece of it. But I think another challenge that teachers it's a little bit like the obvious, like the elephant in the room, but most teachers don't come from the world of work, and PBCL is by its nature connected to the world of work. And so for teachers, that can be completely terrifying. I mean, I was a humanities social studies teacher. I think, having to feel like I would have to own all of the competencies that go along with manufacturing or IT or engineering would have been absolutely overwhelming to me. And I think that particularly for academic core content teachers, they can really feel that way. So unless teaching is, a second career, or teachers have are teaching in a CTE area, a lot of teachers don't come to the table with the expertise that in the content or skills that students would actually be exploring through a PBCL challenge. So that can feel very unfamiliar, very scary, and teachers often don't feel like they're going to have the bandwidth to be able to add that kind of knowledge or capacity to what they already have. So one strategy that I've found through our work with academies is that we try to help teachers develop that deeper understanding of the world of work by basically getting them together with their employer partners in as many ways as we can. And one of the ways that we do this is through a team externship, where an interdisciplinary team, including a CTE teacher, but also core academic teachers, would be going to the employer partner site and really learning more about the challenge they're going to be asking students to explore. So that gives them a peek into what the challenge looks and feels like. It helps them experience the context as learners themselves when it's safe. It helps them look for connections to their own courses and their own content. So it's a safe, unthreatening way to help teachers kind of develop that relationship and that understanding for what kinds of content and skills you actually see at work in this challenge, in whatever challenge they're exploring. We also found that having the employer partners is not just about externships. It's about that ongoing relationship with the employer partner and having them be part of planning the experience for students and then helping to implement that experience, helping assess how students are doing, and helping be part of the reflection process. And what that does is it really gives teachers thought partners. And I think that can feel like a real burden has been lifted, and it can feel exciting too. And I think it's kind of a win-win for employer partners and for teachers because they both feel like they're having an impact on what students are actually walking away with. Another thing that I think is scary for teachers is when you're doing PBCL, as David pointed out, you're not setting up the constraints ahead of time. So you may not know what the answers are going to be. In fact, you won't know what the answers are going to be at every stage of the process, which, again, can be a real unsettling feeling for teachers, depending how experienced you are and how comfortable you are with not knowing all the answers. So there's a lot less control over what kinds of content or skills are going to end up being most essential to the solution. So it does require some flexibility and more of a coaching approach from teachers, and I think that's where the front loading and having the teachers really feel comfortable asking questions of their business partners helps teachers feel a little bit more confident that they're going to be able to support students effectively in the process. So we've really addressed that through Ford NGL and through the STEM academies with professional development for the teacher teams to help them not only get to know their employer partners and do the planning with them and provide them with some planning tools and some processes and protocols that they can use to help develop these learning experiences, but we also give them things like rubrics and criteria for effective cases, help them think about how can they make connections to their own course content. Those kinds of things are what we would try to embed within our professional learning experiences with teachers. I think for teacher teams also, having some kind of background in inquiry and project-based learning, or PBL, can be very helpful. We find that that can actually really build a teacher or team's readiness to do PBCL, but it can also be a little bit of a, it can sometimes be a stumbling block because, as David said, you do have to move away from defining the problem and stepping back and opening it up to be more of an open-ended challenge, and that can be hard if you're used to designing really good PBL to open it up to that degree. So another thing that we've found to be really a helpful tool has been providing some training and professional development in design thinking, because that's a process that teachers can use themselves and they can use with their students to help them tackle, to understand a problem, to unpack a problem, and to really figure out what it is that they wanted to design for. And it's a process that is obviously used by a lot of employers now. If they don't use design thinking specifically, they use things that are very similar or maybe unique to that particular company. But there's a lot of connections to the process that we provide for teachers and the ones that employers use. And I think that when we talk about messiness, it is messy, but it's not messy without intention. It is intentional messiness, and there is a process, and there are processes and cycles and skills that are being built through the process. So it's not sort of a free-for-all. And I think design thinking is a great example of how you can have this real kind of openness, but also a process for tackling that openness. So we found that to be a really helpful strategy for supporting teacher teams who do PBCL.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like there are a lot of support systems out there, specifically for our listeners listening in and hearing all of this and thinking, is this something that I could possibly implement in my class? Having the support systems and implementing these strategies, such as the externships and the design thinking training for teachers, will definitely help support the implementation. So I appreciate that. So before we close, David and Jessica, I mean, I'd like to offer you an opportunity to add any additional insight on this particular topic of authentic challenges and quote-unquote messy situations.
Dan, I'd like to just make one final point. We've talked very much about how transformational this is for student learning, but it's equally transformational for the teachers and transformational for the business partners. For the teachers, I know over the years I heard some comments I never knew or I never suspected in terms of becoming engaged in and aware of the world of work, what the business environment looks like. I've also heard teachers say, I've never felt as validated by the community as I have today. To realize and be the benefit of such a commitment from their business partner is extremely gratifying to teachers. On the other hand, the business partners, by virtue of their deep engagement here, can see a demonstrable difference that they're making in education and in students. And so for them, it's a real ROI they can point to. They can say, yes, we made a difference in lives.
Thank you, yeah, David.
The only thing I would add is that I think sometimes when we talk about the messiness and we talk about the fact that it can be challenging, a lot of times that may seem like off-putting. And I think what I would want to just put out there is that for folks who are thinking about trying TBCL or, you know, maybe exploring it a little bit further, I think that there's no, I would caution against people being afraid to try it, you know, and that there's not, you know, a gold standard that you have to reach the first time you do it. I think that starting by building relationships with your business partners and your employer partners and community partners and just talking with them about what their challenges are and finding ways to expose students to that conversation. There are lots of ways to do that without having to do a full-on team project. So there are some entry points that I think can make it feel a little more accessible. And so while we, you know, we talk a lot about it being more open, less constrained, but, you know, it's not completely unfamiliar to experienced teachers. And I think that teachers have been doing a lot of this in isolation for a long time. So finding this kind of process that would hook them up with supportive partners that do open the walls up to just allow the students to be more interactive with the employers in their community is something that will probably feel better, I would imagine, than trying to do it all by themselves and in isolation. So I just wanted to sort of add that, you know, don't be afraid to try it just because it's messy, because I think teachers can be a lot more comfortable within that than they thought they were once they try it out. So it's been very exciting to be part of, and it's been exciting to see the students and teachers really come alive and be excited about it too. So I've been very honored to be part of the work.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been an honor having both of you on today's show. As we learned today, you know, PBCL and these authentic challenges really not only benefit the student, but also the teacher in giving them this world of work context and really helping challenge students. And like Jessica mentioned right now, it's not something to be kind of overwhelmed and afraid to try out, because we've got support systems in place, and it's definitely something that that is achievable in a less some sort of level. And so man, we really appreciate you guys being on today's show, and special thanks to you guys for taking time to be with us and share your insights and experiences. And on behalf of Ford NGL's Problem-Based Case Learning Podcast, I hope that you've enjoyed today's show. For follow-up questions about today's podcast or about PBCL, feel free to email us at products@fordngl.com. You can also tweet us using the hashtag FordNGLPBCL. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.